guys of Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
He's always been a guy, when I think when he's gotten opportunities at the big league level, they've been somewhat limited. He's gone out there and he'd get a few at-bats here and a few at-bats there, but we've had to lean on him, and he's been a massive contributor to us. Again, the guy's always been a good player. I've seen him play well and seen the things he can do always. We're putting him in center field and he's going out there and he's doing a pretty good job out there too for a guy that hasn't played a ton out there. So he's a ball player and he figures things out. That's what ball players do.
That's what ball players do.
I love it. We're at the stage of the season for the Twins here, who have, by the way, won what, 5 of 6? They're back to 10 games below 500. We're at the stage of the season where we're just calling random journeyman dudes up. Rob Refsnyder, just someone save us.
Yep.
Someone please save us.
But he does what a ball player does, Phil. Like, if you know ball players like I do, you know what they do.
Listen, I'm not going to let you rain on my Rob Refsnyder parade here, okay? We will talk about Rob Refsnyder. Is he Lou Ford or is he the natural? Have we seen a late career resurgence here? But boys, happy game 6 day here. A Judd's Hockey Show is up and ready. If you are hanging out today and you're looking for, and as we speak, Matthew Boldy is skating at Wild practice right now.
Amazing.
So speculate.
It's a playoff miracle. It's a playoff miracle, Tiny Tim.
And maybe it's 6-5 games too late. We'll see. But with all these, we got into this discussion just over email last week, and Kaprizov finally came out of his hiding in Game 5 with a goal that sort of broke things open, and we've seen Alex Kirilloff back from the injury. There's so many players in this state right now. And there's so many players under the age of 25 or 25 and under, Vikings as well, that I wanted to put together a pecking order for you guys to judge to start the show here.
Sure.
All right. The best Minnesota athletes 25 and under in pecking order form. And I believe Declan has a nifty graphic we can put up for the YouTube audience on the Score North YouTube channel. So let's fire it up here. Should I start with number 10? I know it's on the screen if you're watching, it's spoiled. But for the audio audience, I'm going to start with number 10
okay. And
work my way backwards for some drama. All right. Number 10, Emmanuel Reynoso, 25-year-old midfielder for Minnesota United. Among the better possession and chance creation players on the roster and even in the league in MLS. So uh-huh. Emmanuel Reynoso, number 10.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, last year's WNBA Rookie of the Year, Crystal Dangerfield for the Minnesota Lynx.
Absolutely.
Number 8, Alex Kirilloff, Minnesota Twins. We've seen some amazing flashes. You might be thinking, wow, if Kirilloff is 8,
yeah,
holy crap, who are the other 7?
He might be moving up this list shortly, though. If that swing is very sweet, and this guy's going to play a lot, and he should.
Yep, it is a joy to watch him swing a bat. He just seems dialed all the time, even when he's going through slumps where he was like 0 for 15 to start the season, and it just looked like he was on the ball on a regular basis. Number 7, D'Angelo Russell, still 25 and under. Came back after the injury, looked like the best version that we've seen of him in a Timberwolves uniform. Number 6, I'm putting Anthony Edwards above D'Angelo Russell based on the second half of the season. I think, obviously, body of work to this point, D'Angelo Russell has more credentials.
I agree with
been
that.
In the league longer.
Yes.
But I think Anthony Edwards has surpassed him in the second half of the season and has a higher upside. Mm-hmm. So he's above D'Lo. Any qualms with that?
No, zero. In fact, I would argue if I'm a Wolves fan, that's a good thing. Like
Some Wolves fans might even argue that he's too low on this list.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, yeah. But I want, if you're going to list them out like you're doing, I want D'Lo behind Ant. And yeah, you're so in your 6 through 10 so far, Ant and Kirilloff might eventually be too low.
Some Wolves fans might be even saying you left a very important player off this top 10 list. But
I like Jaden McDaniels. I don't know if you can make a case. He wasn't the rookie of the year in his league.
I'll
mean, you could
son.
fight.
I'll ask his opinion on it.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. You go text Gerson. What's Gerson?
The Wolves are just spoiled with great players 25 and under. Yep. All right, number five, Carl Anthony Towns, Timberwolves. Yes, he is still only 25 years old, despite the fact that he's been in the league for like 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't had a ton of team success with him, but he is still one of the most efficient and versatile offensive players in the league, and he's the best player on the Timberwolves, 25 years old. Number four, she's missed the first three games of the season due to injury. She was the Rookie of the Year in the WNBA 2 years ago. She was fourth in win shares in the WNBA last year. She's one of the best players in the league. Nafisa Collier is fourth on my list. And you might be wondering, well, how could you put Collier above Towns? Collier is better relative to her peers in her league than Towns is. She's legitimately one of the 5 or 10 best players in terms of analytics, win shares. She scores, she rebounds, she passes, she shoots 40% from three. So I'm putting her fourth.
If you're a Wolves fan, do you want eventually for Ant to surpass Cat? Like, is that a good thing if in a year from now you say, you know what, I'm going to put Ant above Cat? They're still close, but they flip-flop, for instance.
I almost think if the Wolves are going to have actual playoff success, Ant has to be better than Cat. Like, Cat has to be really good, but you've got to have a guard driving the offense, a guard driving things, you know, late in the fourth quarter, creating shots.
Sure.
You know, Towns can create some shots for a big man, but you like Anthony Edwards is a legitimate shot creator that can weave his way around. So yes, I think if the Wolves are going to play at their peak potential, Edwards needs to pass Towns on this list.
Mm-hmm.
Or Russell needs to pass Towns, but I think Russell's sort of hitting
I don't
his
think Russell
ceiling.
Will, yeah.
He's a good player. Yep. There's a little bit more there, but he doesn't have the ceiling of the other two guys. All right, number three. He's also still only 25 years old, Dalvin Cook. When healthy, he's one of the three best running backs in the NFL. The Vikings have centered most of their offensive approach around feeding him the football or throwing him the football, so he's third. Behind Kirill Kaprizov, second, and Justin Jefferson, number one on the top Minnesota players 25 and under list. Jefferson, Kaprizov, Dalvin, Nafisa Collier, Towns, Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell, Alex Kirloff, Crystal Dangerfield, Emmanuel Reynoso, fight me.
I think a year from now, I think Kaprizov is probably atop this list entirely because I think he is probably the biggest superstar ultimately in town, and he has the ability to control far more about his own fate than Jefferson does.
Sure.
Jefferson's unbelievable, but he's at the whim of his quarterback and a guy calling plays for the quarterback. I think a year from now, Dalvin Cook is on this. I think a year from now, Dalvin Cook would be on this list if he was eligible, but he would be lower.
Cam Dantzler is going to knock on the door of this list at some point. Kevin Fiala is 24, so there's some honorable mentions in here that are knocking on the door.
So the two people that you have that I think move up that I watch the most, no question, in a year are Ant for sure. Ant's in the top five, unless something goes very wrong. Ant's in the top five a year from now. I think Kaprizov's atop this list. And I think Alex Kirloff is knocking on the door of the top five. I think he's right around five. I just, his approach at the plate, I mean, what he's doing at his experience level right now to me is super impressive because he looks like he's been playing for 5 or 6 years. So I wouldn't fight you too much on this list, but I do think that there will be some logical shuffling that will go on. And the most important one to me, if I'm a Wolves fan, is that Ant is higher because that means good things have probably happened.
What about you, Dex? Where are you at with this list?
Yeah, I'm pretty good with it. You know, I'm the number one Kevin Fiala fan in town. I love Fiala, but it's a tough one to crack to put up on here, and especially he's 24, correct? So it's not like he's 21 doing this. He's knocking the door of being 25 in a year, so I can understand where he isn't. But yeah, I'm with Judd. I think Kaprizov should be one just because he is able to dictate more of the output of the game than Jefferson is. But Jefferson is dynamic and exciting. We've seen it's a wide receiver league, I think, too, in the NFL. Wide receivers are blossoming all over the place, and they've never been better because it's such a pass-heavy NFL. But I think this is a pretty solid list. I don't really have too much exception there. I think it's a pretty solid list. I think Anthony Edwards does rise up to above Towns.
the most interesting thing about putting together this list is we think of the Twins over the last couple of years as being, you know, just ripe with young talent and this young nucleus, right? And all of a sudden you do this exercise and you start to go through the roster and it's like, oh, yeah, Kepler's 28, Sano's 28, Buxton's 27.
The Twins are an old team now. They're
and
not
those guys aren't
a young team.
And those guys aren't like old. Like Nelson Cruz is old. Jay Happ is old, right? But yeah, I mean, I think it's the oldest team in Major League Baseball. And when you start to look at the options 25 and under, really, it's Kirloff, Larnick, Luis Arraez is 24. Royce Lewis is 21 or 22, but he's just been banged up for 2 years. He won't play this year.
The issue with the class of guys like Kepler and Buxton and Polanco, Sano, is that at this point in time, they basically are who they are. That's the thing. Like, there's not a oh man, there's another ceiling to hit and it's going to be fantastic. Byron Buxton's phenomenal when he can play baseball. Miguel Sano is going to go through great hot streaks, and then I believe he struck out some like four times last night. So I think when it comes to that class of one-time prospects, we pretty much know what they're about. And, you know, some of them are fine. That doesn't make them bad players. But there's no, you know, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and this guy's going to be fantastic. That's passed for that group. And now we're on to the Larnick, Kirloff, Lewis, potentially, that group of players.
Yeah. So that's the pecking order.
I like it.
Top Minnesota players, 25 and under. And I know there's probably a lot of people shouting, well, wait, you missed somebody. What do you mean?
We're going to win, Twins. We're going to score. We're going to win, Twins.
You're wondering, what about Ref Snyder? What about Ref Snyder, that young, up-and-coming, splashy center fielder guy? Yeah, he's 30.
Yeah, he's been around.
I think Judd just ejected himself from the chat here,
too. Judd ejected himself from the chat.
I tried to move my cursor.
Well, you now eliminated, and it's now finally what I've been wanting, the Mackie and Declan show for the last year now.
Exactly right. See you guys later. Bye.
Yeah,
I'm going home. That's the first time I move. I honest to God barely moved my cursor, and I somehow ejected myself. I thought it just hit it. Hold on a second.
Old man tries to use technology.
Yeah, exactly right. Get off my lawn. Why don't we just do radio?
That pecking order, by the way, was presented by our friends at Federated. So if you're a business owner out there, you're a Minnesota sports fan, well, Federated is at the right intersection for you. They've been supporting Minnesota sports teams for a number of years. They've been supporting us, Mackie and Judd, Purple Daily, and they've been supporting business owners in the state of Minnesota for over 100 years, based in Owatonna. They are one of us, and quite simply, they give you peace of mind, and they give you risk management tools and protection. So find out more at federatedinsurance.com. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. Sorry, I am distracted before we talk Ref Snyder, because I'm just seeing all of this news come out about Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady set to take on Bryson DeChambeau and Aaron Rodgers when the match returns on July 6th. Inject that into my veins.
Can please. Phil oversee it and be like the captain? And can we please get Koepka in?
Oh, God.
Wow.
Let's make it. No, I'm serious, too, because like I would be all in for this. Could we
I think
get
it would be uncomfortable because the match
exactly.
is supposed to be fun.
No, I want
guys joking around.
No, here's what I want. I want it uncomfortable as possible. Make it. Put it on cable. I'll pay for it. OK. Uncensored.
Oh, God.
The match.
I would.
In fact, you know what?
Put it on HBO.
Call it the MF-er match. Down and dirty.
I'm here for it.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I don't know how good Bryson DeChambeau is going to be in this format, because he's just kind of like, he's very rigid and he's very insecure. He's not going to laugh at himself like the other guys do.
Did you see when they did the Jordan thing with him? I saw it on Twitter a couple days ago. So they did a sit down with DeChambeau and they handed him an iPad like they did with Michael. And it was Tiger Woods talking about Bryson's game and how he sort of like changed things himself and brought all these, and Bryson was emotional watching it, but it was also really sort of weird. Like, he didn't want to let himself like tear up at all, but it was interesting, but it was uncomfortable because he's like watching Tiger rave about how Bryson changed the game and he's brought all these different things and reshaped his body and done different things for golf. And DeChambeau at one point is close to almost crying, but he won't allow himself to go. And so he's just like hanging on there.
Interesting and uncomfortable are probably the two best words to describe Bryson DeChambeau for sure. All right. Is this the era of Rob Refsnyder? Have we stumbled upon? So here's the story. All right. So Refsnyder hit what? He had two doubles and a bomb last night.
Yeah.
He's played 11 games for the Twins and he's hitting .438 with a .719 slugging percentage. He's got five extra base hits. He's playing center field, made a diving catch last night. Now, he also made an error last night, but and took a Kent Herbeck-sized chunk out of center field while he was doing it. But he has come on the scene and has been the Twins' hottest hitter, not named Byron Buxton. Like, he has provided more of a jolt and a spark and a fire, even just with his personality, to this lineup than anyone outside of Byron Buxton has so far this season. Mm-hmm. And it's no coincidence that they've been winning some games. Now, they're playing Baltimore, so they should be winning these games. But and there's a story today, I think, MLB.com, where this 30-year-old journeyman who has, you know, 192 major league games between the Yankees, the Rays, the Rangers. He's just been a journeyman professional ball player guy. That he overhauled his swing with the St. Paul Saints. And over the last year or so at the offsite training camp, that he's just found a new swing at age 30, and here it is, and he's just hitting the ball over the place. Do you think we have stumbled into a hidden gem that's going to help carry this Twins lineup, or have we stumbled into another random Twins outfielder that's just hot for like a month, like a Lou Ford?
Does somebody have a take here that this is positive? Like, yes, he's different. Because like I'd like to go eventually, but once I start, I'm gonna be me.
Oh my god!
And so, well, no, I'm just offering up a chance. I'm offering up the opportunity for somebody else who thinks that this guy is the second coming of DiMaggio.
I'll take the ball.
I would like the opportunity to talk about this, but I don't want to come in with the dark cloud right away.
Okay, yeah, fair and balanced. That's what we're all about here on Mackie and Judd. Fair and balanced, all right?
We'll do it live. Thanks, Bill.
So, Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, fair and balanced.
So, all right, so do I think he's going to hit .438 all season? No, I do not. Do I think it's possible that the Twins have found a better fourth outfielder option than Jake Cave, and they have raised the floor of their roster? Yes. I do. I think it's very possible that he will take the Jake Cave role, and he won't be an everyday starter, but that he will give you, with his personality, with his overhauled swing, his ability to play all three outfield positions, that Rob Refsnyder will give you a little bit of a spark that you've been looking for. So I'm not ready to say that he's going to be Torrey Hunter in his prime. He's just like, all of a sudden, he's figured this thing out. But I am a believer that Rob Refsnyder is a major league player that the Twins have found to help them the rest of the season. All right?
Okay. All right. I'll go
ahead.
I'll go now.
Go ahead.
He's 30, right?
Yes.
Okay. He has overhauled his swing. What do we always talk about in sports? Every single time something like this takes place and a guy comes up and gets hot, there's going to be adjustments made. Like, if he starts to play, big league teams don't say, that Refsnyder's a tough out. I there's nothing I can do about that. They adjust to his overhauled swing to then try and combat that, right? So one is, I have to see him go through the league and teams at least a second, if not a third time, to see what the adjustment to his adjustment is. So that leads me to believe that this is a nice, you know, it's a great story. And look, the 2021 Twins have been very low on feel-good stories. So this is awesome. Like, if you cover this team, my God, it's manna from heaven, because it's a story about a positive, you know, journeyman. He was with the Yankees. The Twins hate the Yankees, and they got a guy from the Yankees. But here's the most important thing, and I'd like to speak directly to Derek and Thad and Rocco on this one. You were just given, you've been given, and Phil broached this, and he's exactly right, a learning experience. And I consider learning experiences at the age of 51 to still be very important for me. And I told you guys, I hoped that after the first playoff series that Rocco learned about how to differently use his starting pitchers in the playoffs, which means, you know what, ordinarily I take Jose out. But I'm not going to do that now because it's a playoff. And then the Astros series came along and he had learned nothing, okay? Ref Snyder is a very important lesson. And if you leave your house, there are other options than Jay Cave. So if Rob Ref Snyder starting today hits 078 for the rest of the year or something, or is unplayable, I don't know. But if it, or if he more likely just becomes the utility guy that he probably will, which is also just fine. What did you learn? You learned that you're sticking with Jay Cave was absolutely not really even a remotely good idea. Like, there are other options there. And I'm not saying that you might not come back to Jake. So I'm not saying Jake Cave should be released and never play baseball again. No. But what I am saying is, aren't we learning now? And by the way, because Jake Cave was injured, their hand was forced. So this was not a they moved on from Jake Cave. Jake Cave got hurt. Is this not the lesson about depth guys and the fact that you don't have to be married to Jake Cave?
So you're saying this is like the guy that's stuck in just a terrible relationship. All of his friends pointed out.
Yep.
They're not engaged yet or anything. And his friends are like, hey, I don't know, buddy. Like, there's all these online dating sites now. Like, there's fourthoutfielderonly.com. You know, there's utilityplayerlove.com. There's so many other bench player options out there for you. You just need to open your heart and explore.
Are you talking to me? Are you talking to Ref Snyder? I've heard this conversation before from friends and family.
Fourthoutfielderonly.com.
Hi, I'm Jason Tyner here.
Yeah.
Oh. Jason Repko here.
It's benchplayermingle.com. Yeah. Cleet Thomas here.
Yes. But no, but I mean, that's exactly right. Yes. So now you've learned there's a world outside of Jay Cave.
Jason Repko.
Like Jay Cave must have said, don't you leave me. You can't leave me. And they're like, okay, I guess I won't leave you. It's like, no, Rob Refsnyder's knocking on the door. He's got flowers.
I challenge you guys to an obscure Twins outfielder name off. Jason Repko.
John Moses from the 80s.
Wow.
88 to 90. Johnny Moses, former Seattle. I actually spent the morning going through obscure outfielders because Ref Snyder's so...
Oh, you're going to win then.
Down to his name. Down to the name.
It's a pretty good one.
Rob Ref Snyder. That's a perfect, like, obscure outfielder name.
It is. And they've had a million of these. I mean, Lou Ford hit 400 for like a half a season.
Yeah, he was unreal.
And then he ironed his shirt while wearing it, and his career was never quite the same after that.
The best one, though, 31 games, 1983, so a year before Kirby, Rusty Kuntz. Rusty Kuntz.
Spelled K-U-N-T-Z. Very strategic alternate pronunciation by Rusty there.
Yes, who I believe now is back as the first base coach of the Royals, or he was before. But
he's
not
fooling anyone with that.
31 games. There were two guys before Kirby, Rusty Kuntz and Darryl Brown, who played in 186 games in 83-84. Downtown Darryl Brown. Ask Royce about him.
So Rob Ref Snyder injecting a little bit of flair into this offense. And our Talkin' Twins discussions every day on this show, and they've brightened up a little the past couple days because now the Twins are actually winning some games. But they're powered by Dennis Kirk. And if you're looking to brighten up your ride, whether it's a Harley, a Metric Cruiser, sport bike, you'll find what you need at DennisKirk.com. 160,000 parts and accessories in stock. Clothing and helmets as well. Order by 8 p.m. They ship the same day. And shipping is free for orders over $89. DennisKirk.com. Everything you need for your ride at DennisKirk.com or fourthoutfieldermingle.com.
I love this idea of going on online to find dates with utility outfielders. This is a great idea.
You don't have to settle for a Jake Cave.
Yeah. Settling for a cave? get out and find a rest night.
No matter how much I want to be batting third and the starting center fielder, I need to know my field more. I need to know my game. I need to know my game a little bit.
Oh, so you go out when you play the field, you think you're Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm
you think you're Alex Kirilloff, and you're more of a Kyle Garlick.
And don't get me wrong, there have been some clutch postseason hits. I'm not denying that, but in general, the whole body of work is a fringe major leaguer.
Statistically, you know, people think of the great clutch postseason baseball players of all time, like Derek Jeter, Reggie Jackson, Mr. October, right? Kirby Puckett, 1991. Well, statistically, one of the great postseason hitters of all time is Scott Spezio with the Angels in the early 2000s and with the Cardinals. And so, you know, maybe Declan's the type of guy that it might not be 162 games of MVP caliber play, but when the lights are shining the brightest, that's where Declan arrives.
I just got to think that this summer of Garlick and Ref Snyder falls below the 500 mark here. Like, I don't see how I mean, think about this. This is so utility Twins outfield guy, right? Between those two, Ref Snyder and Garlick. It's absolutely perfect.
It does remind me when the rug came out in like 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And all those guys got hurt, and some of the players the Twins were forced to lean on. Some of these guys were younger, but like at one point, the Twins starting outfielder included Rene Tassone. This is 2011, 10 years ago.
Rene
Tassone, Jason Repko, Joe Benson, and Brian Dinkelman.
Oh, Dinkelman. And Benson was a big time prospect when he came up. He was supposed
Dinkelman.
To be. Joe Benson was supposed to be great, and he washed out so quickly.
Very quickly.
Yeah. There is a tour through Twins obscure outfielders at the
great.
End of the Gardy era, like the last two or three years of the Gardy era. I mean, we're talking, so the guys I just named for sure. The next year, Cleet Thomas.
Weird.
And Eric Komatsu both
played. Oh, Komatsu. He rapped? Is that correct?
He's a rapper. Yep. That is correct.
And Last of Us.
Darren Mastroianni, too.
Mastroianni.
Still lives in Judd's neck of the woods, St. Louis Park.
My guy, yeah.
I think this guy's still trying to be a pitcher, but Jordan Schaefer. That was more like 2014.
Wow.
I think he's still trying to be a pitcher in the Dodgers organization.
That's a good pull, Dex.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good pull.
I mean, Chris Colabello wasn't an outfielder, but I think he probably qualifies as one of these guys.
So if you've got a bad baseball team, for the most part, it stinks, right? Like, it's not fun to watch. It's a long summer. Is the best part of a bad baseball team the completely obscure utility guys that fill out the roster?
Twins history is stamped by it, right? You think back
absolutely.
The 1990s
days.
And all the random dudes
Jay
Canizero was their second baseman for like a half season.
Oh, yeah.
Who's that guy? 2014, Jordan Schaefer. These are just outfielders. Jordan Schaefer played 41 games in the outfield for the Twins that season.
Oh my God.
Chris Herman played 33 games. He was an outfielder catcher,
yeah.
And Sam Fuld, who the Twins traded, Super Sam Fuld, played 53 games in the outfield. And then they traded him back to Oakland, I'm pretty sure.
He's an executive now, right?
Yeah, he's
high-rising executive.
Yeah, he is. It was so dark during the Fox Sports North, Valley Sports North days that the vignette was Jordan Schaefer making a diving catch and Bramer having a Bramergasm over it. I remember that very vividly. I remember it was like 2014 in mid-June. I'm like, ooh, it's going to be a long year if we got Jordan Schaefer vignettes playing as sweepers between breaks on Fox Sports
Coming
North.
Up next on Fox Sports North, Twins Live, how Jordan Schaefer can save the season.
Oh, God.
Jordan Schaefer, not surprisingly, did not play another major league game after he left the Twins. So hopefully he's doing well.
Yeah, I think he's pitching. Right. I think he's pitching.
It's good.
Good for him.
All right, we gotta take a deep breath here because we've got Write That Down and an accountability session coming around the corner here.
Oh my gosh, who lives in that cabin? What's wrong with their lakeshore? Look at all those weeds. Ugh, that is the worst cabin on the lake.
Don't be such a busybody.
Excuse me?
They must not know about Aquaside.
Is that what we use?
Yep, just one application of Aquaside each spring keeps our lakeshore weed free.
Shh.
Don't be that cabin this summer on your lake. Eliminate lake weeds this summer with Aquaside pellets.
I should tell them about Aquaside.
Oh, now who's the busybody?
Call 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com.
Yeah, most sports talking heads make predictions, then hope you forget about how wrong they were. But not Mackie and Judd.
Write this down.
This is the Big Leagues, where we own our terrible predictions.
Write that down.
And keep track of each other's batting averages. It's Write That Down.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
With Mackie and Judd.
All right, boys, welcome in. And, of course, I'm a space cadet and forgot to put this on the screen for you guys. But this is the most accountable and transparent segment in all of sports media. This is Write That Down with Mackie and Judd, where we hold each other accountable, keep track of each other's predictions each and every week. Listen, love me some Stephen A. Smith. That dude ain't keeping track of his batting average. Mm-hmm. Love me some, I don't really love me some Skip Bayless. But, like, listen, these guys, they would be humiliated, right?
Yes.
Not us. We are Teflon here on Mackie and Judd in many ways, actually, over the years. We've been Teflon.
Yeah, I was going to say. How
on Mackie and Judd.
That goes down a very dark path.
Judd is even more Teflon than I am. Declan maybe will be Teflon at some point.
Yeah, one day. Someday.
Or maybe not. Or maybe not.
Or maybe never.
So far, so good for Dex, but it remains to be seen.
Yeah. You never know in this business. So every Wednesday on Mackie and Judd and also on Purple Daily, we make predictions. Three predictions from everybody each week. They must be quantifiable. On the Mackie and Judd Classic Edition, we keep track of batting averages and home runs. Predictions can be about literally anything, anything quantifiable. We tend to stick to Minnesota sports mostly, but sometimes we venture out beyond that. If you want to be a guest listener predictor, like Matt is about to be here in a couple minutes, send a direct message to either me, Phil Mackie, or Declan on Twitter or Instagram if you want to play along with us. Boys, we, after last week where we had all kinds of NBA and NHL season predictions come off the board, we had a ton of stuff come off the board, the batting average race tightened about as much as we've ever seen in the history of Write That Down this late in the season. We're like halfway through the season.
Yeah, we're basically halfway through.
And Judd, who's been leading for like a year and a half, he won the batting title last year, the home run title. He's been the Mike Trout of Write That Down. Still clinging, but the rest of us, me, Declan, and the listeners, nipping at your heels.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll see if you can hang on to the batting average race here.
I don't know. I didn't have a good week.
Wrap up the month of May.
All right.
Well, let's see. Let's get to the accountability session.
Here we go. What do we got?
See what happened. All right. Ooh, you're right.
Ooh.
I told you guys I didn't have a good week.
Ooh.
Well, I brought them all off the board. This was either going to be brilliant or stupid and turned out to be stupid.
You were going for the cycle, kind of. You were going for a cycle.
Well, I mean, I tried to go all in, write that down. Everything this week came off the board, and I
respect it. I
popped up.
I did too. Yeah, you did the right thing in terms of feeding the audience what they want, which is predictions off the board, right? You did that. Well, you did it poorly because you said at
exactly,
least one
the
of them. You said at least one of the next two games at the X will go into overtime. Well, they didn't.
I wish.
You said, go ahead, Dex.
I said, I wish they would have went to overtime. For God's sakes, would have been more entertaining than what we had to watch.
Yeah. You said Marcus Foligno and Ryan Reeves will get into at least one fight in game three. They even yell at each other.
Reeves has been running his mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Reeves
got into it with somebody. It might have been Foligno, but it definitely didn't come close to a fight, which was very unfortunate for me.
And then you said Kaprizov will score at least a goal in games three and four. He did in game five, and I think he might in game six.
Yeah.
See if
I went all in. There's no question. I went all in.
All right.
All right. So
no
0 for 3 there.
Old Macadac.
Well, good news for you. Yeah, old Macadac here.
Oh, no. Okay.
He said Carl Anthony Towns, by he I mean me,
said third person. It's because you're the hockey whisperer. Why are you making basketball predictions?
Right.
The hockey whisperer is pumped for some predictions today. Pumped. Yep. So he said Cat will average at least 7 assists per game between now, February 24th, and the end of the regular season. I got really excited about an 11-assist game early in the Chris Finch period. Now, he did average 5 assists per game under Chris Finch.
Solid.
So he did have more assists, but not quite 7.
Okay.
All right. So we've got a couple things brewing with the listeners here.
That's
we
nice.
Have an official appeal from Drew P.
Yes.
All right. This one came off the board last week, and it was deemed incorrect. And the prediction we had was that It must have just been written down missing the word full.
Yeah.
Because he said in our archives, he said in the next NHL season, Kevin Fiala and Kirill Kaprizov will combine for 50 or more goals. Well, they had 47.
Yeah.
So we dinged it. But he sent a direct message to both Declan and I and said, I'm
correct.
Fairly certain my prediction was in the next full NHL season.
Yes.
They will combine for 50 or more goals.
Yes.
And so with that, I don't know if anybody on the show wants to put up a fight. I trust Drew P.
Yep.
And we're just going to take this one back off the board and let it sit.
Put it back on the board, yes.
Another 82-game season, yeah. I guess. Right? I think there's a chance Kirill might score 50 on his own in a full season at some point. Maybe we'll go on the record with that. Maybe Hockey Whisperer will.
Mm. You never know what the Whisperer is going to do.
You never know.
Nick and Blaine said the Wild will score at least 3 goals in Game 3, and Fiala or Kaprizov will get at least a point. So... You might argue they got robbed of a third goal in Game 3, but that's tough. That's the breaks. And write
that
down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's all about the game and how you play it.
That's right.
Sorry, sports son. Mm-hmm. Nick.
Jeff in Arkansas had a parlay. The Wolves will not draft Jalen Suggs, which we don't know yet, but he said the Vikings will not draft an offensive lineman in the first round. So that was just from a few weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
So listeners 0 for 2. Declan said Kevin Fiala will score 3 goals in the next 2 games for the Wild. And the Wild, well, you can't quit the Kevin Fiala predictions.
No, I can't.
You can't quit Kevin Fiala.
I can't quit Kevin Fiala. It's like another things I can't quit. Everyone tells me, quit it, Declan. You got to move on. You got to go to
actually,
this
no
person.
One said
and
that.
You keep falling down the trap.
That's not true. That's not true, Declan.
You have your damn brain, and it screws you over anyway.
Calm down. I never said that.
I thought things were going well a couple months ago.
Between
you and Fiala.
Yeah, I mean, me and Fiala were trending well. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. You're a cool
guy. The Wild will win at least one of the next 2 games on home ice. They did not.
No.
However, you redeemed yourself. You said Zach Parise will dress in a game in the playoffs for the Wild.
Thank you.
Nice work.
Thank you.
You got one right, yeah. I got none right.
And so, boys,
let's see.
Here are the updated batting averages. Oh, snap! God. We got a new batting average leader.
Oh, no!
And his name is Phil Mackey.
Coming back
with
from...
a 383
what
average.
What were you like a month and a half ago? I was at
210?
Yeah.
It was really bad.
Wow.
So 383 with one home run. Judd is at 373 with 3 home runs, which leads the league. Declan, 362 with 2 home runs. And listeners at 318 with 2 home runs. Truly
race.
Anybody's game in any of these categories.
This is a great race right now.
It is. It is very much a fun batting title race. So all-time stats, Judd, 159 hits, 11 bombs. I have 130 hits, 11 bombs. Listeners, 109 hits, 11 bombs. Declan, 52 hits. And 4 bombs. So there it is. We've got a tight, tight race here, boys.
Wow.
And write that down. It's going to be a...
That's the first time that I've been out of the batting average lead in a year?
I honestly think you've gone wire to wire since, like,
yeah.
For sure, like a calendar year.
I think so.
Yeah.
Goes to show I shouldn't have made all 3 predictions. From one series.
You're getting hooked in. Yeah. These hockey emotions are hooking in here.
Yep.
We'll
no, I might have rethought my strategy this week, by the way, very carefully.
All right.
Let's get Matt in here. Let's make some predictions for this week.
Write it down. I think Matt
might be a little frozen here. Right as I put it in there. Matt, you got us okay?
We can hear Matt.
I can hear you.
All right.
We can make this work.
We can make it work, though.
You don't need to see my pretty face.
That's all right.
I mean, technically, no one should see ours either.
Yeah,
so.
That's also very true.
Matt, so a little pressure here because the listeners have been hot lately and you're within striking distance of the batting average race. So are you going short-term, long-term? Are you swinging for home runs, singles? What's the strategy today?
I'm going to do a little bit of everything. I'm going to work my way up.
All right. So here's how it's going to work. We're going to start with you, Matt, and then we're going to go Judd, Declan, back to me, Phil, and we'll make 3 trips around the room. Predictions must be quantifiable. Matt, lead us off.
This was originally going to be a negative one for the Vikings, but they got some favor after the draft, so I changed it. I was going to say that they were going to be a 50-50 team this year, but...
Not even really possible. Well, I guess they could tie. They could tie a game.
Give or take a little, but anyway, write this down. The Vikings will have a positive turnover differential this season.
Okay. All right. A couple Patrick Peterson picks over here. A little Cam Dantzler pick 6. over there, Kirk Cousins, you know, checks it down instead of throws interceptions on the first play against the Falcons.
Hit from behind and fumble the football.
That would help what I'm worried about.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's the biggest concern to me as well.
All right.
Write this down. Am I next?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, it's your show, too.
Yep, half your show.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot it. Mm-hmm. I'm so distraught from no longer having to write that down batting average lead that I've.
Judd is a front runner, man. He only knows how to function when he has the batting average lead. Now he's lost.
Can't take it. I'm struggling so much. The Twins will go against their recent history and take a pitcher in the first round of the MLB draft this year. They draft 26th. The Twins, Declan Goff, will take a pitcher in the first round. They've been taking sluggers of late.
Yep.
But my God, at some point in time, you need a little bit more young pitching, probably.
Do we know when is the last time they took a pitcher with their first pick in the draft?
I think Tyler Jay flamed out and was out of the organization in 3 years. You took a closer. You took a
That was
reliever.
The Benintendi draft, right? Didn't Benintendi go right after,
like right after him?
After Tyler Jay?
I think even Walker Buehler was on the board, too. It was a brutal, brutal draft.
The baseball draft, it is a really depressing to go through because it is a crapshoot, but it's not like in the NBA, like it's very rare that you just draft complete busts. Congratulations to the Timberwolves who do it all the time in the top 10 picks. Like you at least get rotation guys.
Right.
In Major League Baseball, like half the first rounders just never wind up even playing Major League Baseball. So Tyler Jay.
Put that down.
Right. Over to Declan.
All right. The Wild will win game 6 and they will win game 7 by 3 goals or more.
Whoa.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm gonna shoot my shot and go for a homer here.
You're doubling down here.
They'll win game 6, and then they'll win game 7 by 3 goals or more.
Wowza.
I like it.
Write that down.
Declan sees the home run title in his sights on the horizon. All right. The Hockey Whisperer's got a couple for you here.
What does he get?
We'll start out with this one. So Matthew Boldy, who's been not only skating around at practice with the Wild, but he has been practicing specifically. So practice has ended, and then very specifically after practice ended, he was skating around with what looked like a potential power play unit with Kaprizov, Zuccarello, and Fiala. So I think he's going to play tonight, but I'm going to couch my prediction a little bit here. The Hockey Whisperer is going to say Matthew Boldy will score the first goal for the Wild in his first game with the Wild.
Okay.
Whether it's tonight or whether they foolishly don't play him until the next regular season.
Okay.
Matthew Boldy will score the first goal for the Wild in his first game with the Wild.
I have a Boldy goal one from like January that I threw out on the board. Not January, like February or March that I threw out on the board.
All right.
I like the chances. I like Boldy. Get him in there for God's sakes.
Trying to find your Boldy prediction.
I think it was just Matt Boldy will score a postseason goal is what I had like in February or March.
Yeah, you do. Yep. Mm-hmm. There it is.
And I feel like so far away that I think it could classify as a bomb because I made it a very, very long time ago.
What do you think?
What's the prediction?
If Declan cashes in on a prediction from like months ago that Matthew Boldy will score a postseason goal, is that a home run?
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't on the roster. This will be his first game.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
No, okay. That's a home run.
Yep.
Cool.
I'm with you.
All right. Back to Matt. Your second prediction, sir.
A little reckless speculation here.
Ooh.
Yes.
Oh, okay. We'll hit you with that.
Hold on.
Reckless speculation.
There you go.
All right. The next team that Kirk Cousins will start for will be the Raiders, the Giants, or the Saints.
Wow. So the Saints would be interesting. I could actually see him thriving with the Saints.
Because
Sean Payton's so great with quarterbacks. The Giants would be fascinating because the media coverage, and they would just, if he didn't play well, he would just get savaged out there.
And Matt,
I was going to say Washington, but
that's been crossed.
That ship
I think they're
sailed.
Good on that.
And just to save you a little bit, Matt, the next team Kirk Cousins starts for after his Vikings career, correct? Not just his next start, right?
Yes.
No, you're good. I'm looking out for you there. I'm looking out for
the Raiders. Gruden. I could see that
I
one
could
too.
See that. Yeah, I could see that.
I appreciate what Declan did there. I think when it comes to the gotcha game of write that down, we don't like to do that with listeners as much. We love to do it with each other though. Yeah. Like if Judd had made that prediction, Declan and I would
have
sat here like
anything.
Yeah. Except you guys would have started to laugh then, and then I'd be like, oh wait, hold on a second, I have to amend it.
Or it gets really quiet.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
Okay. All right, back to Judd, your second prediction.
Kyle Rudolph will catch at least four touchdowns for the Giants this season. He had only one in 2020 with the Vikings. He will catch at least, Declan, that's the key words, at least four for the New York football Giants this season.
Danny Dimes to Rudy in the red zone.
He's a good target there. He can
big
go,
spongy hands.
He can get the ball in the end zone.
He can. He doesn't get a lot of separation. He
big
can't
sponge,
jump over a
big
tree branch.
Spongy hands.
But he's got the big spongy hands.
Write this down.
All right, back to Declan's second prediction.
Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka will be a featured pair in a PGA tournament or Ryder Cup this year. Because Ryder Cup isn't part of the PGA Tour necessarily, right? Is it like its own one-off thing?
It's its own thing. Yeah.
So I want the Ryder Cup in there because I can see it most likely being that one. But Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka will be a featured pair in a PGA tournament or Ryder Cup event this year.
I love this prediction. So a couple things off this. Ryder Cup would be a long shot because that's about like they're going to be on the same team, and I don't know who the captain is, but. But I would think that it would be bad strategy to put two guys who hate each other like in a 2-on-2 match against Europe.
Yeah.
Right. But it would be genius if the PGA Tour, which is always looking for, especially in the post Tiger era, they're looking for things to spark viewership and excitement. And there's a lot of fun reasons to watch golf right now. Phil Mickelson among them. But they can control the pairings on Thursdays and Fridays.
Yep.
On the PGA Tour. They can't control them on Saturday, Sunday because it's based on, you know, where you're at. It's possible that those guys would never be paired together on a Saturday or Sunday because they might never be like next to each other on the leaderboard. But wouldn't it be genius at the next major, at the U.S. Open, to put those guys in the same group on Thursday and Friday and just make them sweat it out? Come on, PGA.
Hell yeah.
Make it happen.
Give us what we want.
Write this down.
All right, the Hockey Whisperer is going to put his money where his mouth is here. He made this prediction in a regular Mackie and Judd segment, but he wants it to go on the record here, okay?
Okay.
And he wants it to go on the record. I mean, it's a home run either way, but it's going to go on the record retroactive to when he made the prediction, which makes it even more of a home run.
Mm-hmm.
Write this down. Game 7 overtime winner for the Wild. They will beat the Vegas Golden Knights in overtime of Game 7. And I know that I made the specific prediction of Kevin Fiala, but I don't think I need to say that for this to be a home run. So I'm going to hedge a little in the official Write That Down prediction that they will win this series with a Game 7 overtime winner.
Oh, man. The Whisperer away from
and off the
work
record,
the Whisperer had done.
Off the record. Well, it's already out there.
Yeah, I just feel like you're violating the sanctity of the Whisperer by backing off Fiala.
It's a home run either way. You know, I don't want Fiala to put one on net and then like Erickson Ek tips it in or something. I want the point. Hockey Whisperer wants the credit. Erickson, he's leading the batting average race.
Parisi?
So the Wild will beat the Golden Knights in Game 7 in overtime, basically, right?
Correct. Just that is correct.
Very blanket. Got it. Yep. Cool.
Yep. Okay, we're back to Matt here. Your final prediction, sir.
All right, swinging big. So write this down. The Bills, Browns, Titans, Chiefs, Washington football team, Minnesota Vikings, Bucks, and Rams will all be playoff teams in the upcoming season.
Oh, whoa, dude. Love this. This is an aggressive parlay. It's a home run if it happens.
Declan needs
the teams again. He just threw up his hands.
All right. Bills?
Yep.
Browns?
Yep.
Titans.
Yep.
Chiefs.
Okay.
Washington football team.
Okay.
Vikings.
Okay.
Bucks.
Yep.
And Rams.
Rams. Okay.
All of them playoff teams.
Well,
all playoff teams.
Okay.
So they can be wild cards.
Get them all, Dex.
Bills.
Is there an extra wild card this year?
No, there was last year.
Well, is it just back to six?
No. It's the same format. Yeah.
Yeah. So. It's the same form as it was last year. So, yes, there'll be seven playoff teams then. So, Bills.
I like that better.
Bills, Browns, Titans, Chiefs, Washington, Vikings, Bucks, Rams.
Correct.
Bingo.
Dex, can you read those backwards for us just to make sure?
Rams.
Make sure we
Bucks,
have
Bucks, Vikings, Washington, Chiefs, Titans, Browns,
he bit
Bills.
On that one. Nice work, Phil.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Actually, can you start in the middle now and work your way out?
Chiefs, Washington, Titans, Vikings, Bucks, Browns, Rams, Bills.
Oh. All right, Matt, since you've got this gigantic, life-changing platform right now, is there anyone in your life you'd like to thank that brought you to write that down?
I'd like to thank the whatever terrible band sang Lips of an Angel
Hinder.
Way back in the day.
Hinder. Nah, Declan beat me to it.
Yeah. Hinder.
What's or,
basically Diet Nickelback is what they were.
Pretty much. I thought it was Nickelback, and then I found out it was worse. But I'd like to thank them for being on the radio on like 10 different stations at the same time, and it drove me to listening to talk radio.
I love it. So we needed just the most garbage song of the last 20 years to be blasting for you to sample Mackie and Judd on AM 1500 back in the day. Love it.
I don't think you were even around then, but it brought me to you.
That's love awesome.
Thanks, love man.
It. Judd, we'll get you thank a copy you. Of
I have
Hinder,
no idea
Lips
what the
angel.
Song is. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, play it on full blast, Judd. You'll love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Windows down.
Yeah.
Breeze blowing.
I'm sure the
your
neighbors
hair.
Would appreciate that.
Judd reviews Hinder's Lips by an Angel.
All right, Matt. Thanks for coming
thanks,
on,
Matt.
We'll get you on again sometime.
Thank
right,
you.
Good stuff there.
Write this down.
Good stuff
that's
from Matt.
Amazing.
All right. Back to Judd, your final prediction of the week.
Okay. I will give you one up for the Wild Golden Knights game tonight that will come off the board immediately and hopefully change my batting average. Kirill Kaprizov will score at least one goal in Game 6. Kirill Kaprizov, I'll go back to the well. He let me down in Games 3 and 4. Kirill Kaprizov will score at least one goal in Game 6.
What time today would we see the official active inactive list for the Wild?
So,
like when would we see if Boldy's actually?
Oh, not
we won't
not
know
not
until
tonight.
Like literally half hour, 20 minutes before puck drop, yep. If that even.
Yeah, yeah you submit your. You submit your starters and your scratches shortly before the game starts, basically.
Okay.
So it's going to be a while. He'll play, though. You're right.
Let's do it.
Write that down.
Let's get it. All right, Declan.
All right, last one. That's just a seeing eye single here. They're up 3-2 in their best of 7 series, but I will say that the Islanders will advance in their first round series against the Penguins. So they're up 3-2 right now. Game 6 is tonight, Islanders-Penguins. I'll say the Islanders will advance. Anything can happen in playoff hockey, so the Penguins can still come back. But it's a seeing eye single. I want the point. I want the average to get back in there. So Islanders will beat the Penguins.
That's fair.
Write that down.
All right, speaking of average, sorry to pour cold water on the Rob Refsnyder party here.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
You're not playing.
But Rob Refsnyder, write this down, will see his batting average dip below 250. I was going to say within 1 month. I'll just say for ease of calculation, by the end of June, his batting average will dip below 250 by the end of June with the Twins.
And somewhere Jake Cave will smile.
But Jake Cave is he's behind Garlick now. He's behind Refsnyder. Larnick has passed him up.
Oh yeah, yes, you think? I hope
Buxton's,
so.
Buxton's coming back at some point. Kepler.
Mm-hmm.
The Twins actually have an overload of what happens when. You got Kepler, Kirilloff, Larnick, Buxton, a red hot ref.
Over to Granlund.
Kyle Garlick.
Over to Garlick. Back to Refsnyder.
Palmaville.
I don't care other than the fact that Kirilloff and Larnick have to play.
Yep.
So that's my response. Like the Kyle Garlicks and the Refsnyders, I don't care what you do.
And then it becomes a weird discussion about Max Kepler, right?
Yeah. And
Max Kepler has not been, he's been a little hotter lately.
I think Max Kepler is no longer going to be a Twin come spring training.
Ooh, interesting.
Don't you guys?
There should be a segment where you write that down or something.
Yeah, we should do something where you actually are held accountable when you say things.
Write it down. You like writing things down?
I don't like that anymore. No, that's a bad idea. I used to like that idea a lot. I hate that idea now.
All right, so that's a wrap on the most transparent segment in sports media. Write that down with Mackie and Judd. Please, if you could, give us a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple Podcasts. And if you could click the subscribe button on both of our YouTube pages, Score North MN and Purple Daily Podcast, we would be grateful. And we will we'll come back at you with daily Minnesota sports entertainment on both those channels. So, all right, Judd has lost the batting average lead. He's going to have to stew on that for at least a week and look up in the standings. We'll see you guys tomorrow for a Reckless Speculation Thursday episode.